From South Carolina Public Radio, this is the South Carolina Lead. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on May 20th, 2024, from South Carolina Public Radio Studios here in Columbia. On this episode of The Lead, we take a look at the political calendar for this week.
No way!
Yeah, that's right. You're going to know what's going on, folks. We're going to hear from Senator Tim Scott about the latest Veep speculation and his thoughts on RFK Jr. We have the latest updates from the 1st and 4th Congressional District primaries and who isn't debating ahead of the June 11th primary.
Is there anything else?
We also have some strong unemployment numbers and inflation is easing. You know, it's not inflating. Our voicemail, though our voicemail box is runneth over right now. But that doesn't mean that you can't call us at 803-563-7169. We have some lovely voicemails we're going to get to as soon as we can. But we love hearing from you guys in the wind down section. Gives us something to talk about. We need some advice for AT, our proud papa. What is she, a month old now? 2 months old? We're going to be doing like monthly updates on how old baby Rena is.
Yeah.
She's going to grow up via this podcast. Not many kids can say that.
Yeah.
So let us know, 803-563-7169. Let's start off with our calendar for the week.
Fine.
Looking at Governor Henry McMaster, he has a busy Monday. He had a busy Monday, I should say, with a press conference with the South Carolina Department of Parks, Recreation, and Tourism, also known as PRT around here, recognizing National Travel and Tourism Week. That's right. We are in National Travel and Tourism Week. How are you celebrating? 803-563-769. Also, that was followed by the I-26 widening Calhoun phase kickoff event. Yes. I-26 keeps getting wider, folks. I was down with SCDOT officials in Swansea. On Tuesday, McMaster will participate in the Governor's Officer of the Year Award Ceremony in Columbia. On Wednesday, McMaster and First Lady Peggy McMaster will attend the topping-off ceremony for the Jean and Hugh K. Leatherman Behavioral Care Pavilion in Florence. And on Thursday afternoon, McMaster will hold a ceremonial bill signing for H. 4042, that's the defining anti-Semitism bill, at the State House. Busy week. Moving up to Congress, Politico reports that Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is trying to make this Border Security Week. So, Travel and Tourism Week down here, Border Security Week up in D.C. In a letter to senators, the Majority Leader said he will be bringing the Bipartisan Border Act negotiated by Senators James Lankford of Oklahoma, Chris Murphy of Connecticut, and Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona back to the floor this week. Now, the bill is unlikely to pass, and Schumer noted that he knows that not every Democrat will support the legislation. In February, 5 Democrats voted against advancing the bill, and that's when it was tied to the foreign aid supplemental. So, different time right now. Looking at the 2024 campaign trail, the Trump hush money trial continues in Manhattan.
Oh, how you doing?
On Tuesday, President Joe Biden holds an official event in Nashua, New Hampshire, and fundraisers in Boston. Thursday, Biden hosts a bilateral meeting, news conference, and state dinner with Kenyan President William Ruto. Trump visits the South Bronx for a campaign event, and on Friday, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. speaks at the Libertarian National Convention in Washington. On Saturday, Biden delivers the commencement address at West Point, and Trump speaks at the Libertarian National Convention. And don't think that we forgot about the Sunday shows. We always seem to have someone on there, and that's why we're bringing it to you, so you know what they were talking about on Sunday, the Lord's Day for politics. On Sunday, Senator Tim Scott was on Sunday Morning Futures on Fox Business Channel with Maria Bartiromo, where she started off by asking him whether RFK Jr. should be allowed on the debate stage with President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump come June and September.
He absolutely has a point. Without any question, the criteria that's been said he seems to have met. But Joe Biden is so afraid of debating, he thinks he wants one-on-one with President Donald Trump because the moderators will play interference, run interference for Joe Biden. It is terrible, the rules that Joe Biden is dictating to have a debate. The good news is President Trump says anywhere, anytime, any place, because he knows he can expose the lies of Joe Biden, starting with inflation, moving to the border, and talking about crime. The issues that underlie the future of this country, Joe Biden's been on the wrong side of that the entire 4 years. South Carolinians, Maria, are paying more than $25,000 for the same things they could buy under President Trump because Joe Biden's inflation has destroyed, devastated their paychecks.
So
we've seen more than... Go right ahead.
What about Trump's policies in terms of reining in inflation? What's number one in terms of the most important issue he could do?
Number one is cutting taxes. We're looking at the largest tax increase in American history in 2025. President Biden says he wants the taxes to go up. President Trump says he wants the taxes to stay down. The difference between that is more money in the average pocket of an American. President Trump promised $4,000. He delivered $4,400. Joe Biden has taken all those dollars plus another $7,000 on average per year out of the pockets of everyday families, devastating our economy. And Maria, millennials, the first-time home buyers, rates for mortgages are over 7%. That's devastating in a world that under President Trump was around 3%. The changes are drastic and measurable in lost money in the average paycheck.
Senator, I know you've been spending a lot of time with President Trump recently. What do you believe is the most important value that you bring to the ticket should he choose you as his VP?
Well, I don't think it's about the who, it's about the what. It's about the issues that the American people face. I got to say without any question, if we're going to talk about the who, it's Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris, the border czar, has allowed the greatest invasion in American history. Kamala Harris working on the economy with the pandering tour of Joe Biden, seeing the devastation across this nation. Kamala Harris working with Joe Biden on issues of the Middle East. Literally standing in opposition to our strongest ally, Israel. I will say this without any question. As a poor kid from a single parent household, knowing the truth of the American dream, having a chance to talk about that is important. Starting a business that changed not just my life, but my mother's economic future, that was only possible because we had the kind of power in our economy driven by conservative values. I want to talk about giving Donald Trump four more years, not for the vice president, but for the American people.
Right.
This is about 300 million people who need a better future.
Keeping with 2024, hubbub. Former Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley held a private two-day donor retreat in Charleston last week, where the former South Carolina governor and UN ambassador thanked a group of around 100 donors, and her team gave a presentation on her campaign's fundraising and strategy. This according to Politico. The outlet also reported that Trump was barely mentioned, even as Haley continues to rack up votes in primaries despite dropping out of the race in early March. The Charleston retreat showed the former GOP candidate continues to have the backing of an extremely loyal group of donors and supporters who plan to keep following her. And Haley is also set to give a speech at the conservative Washington think tank, the Hudson Institute, where she is a fellow, on Wednesday. Let's move to Congress.
Okay, let's go.
Okay. Specifically, the 1st Congressional District, which, as you know, is centered in the Lowcountry. It's one of the hottest primary races in the state as we barrel toward the June 11th primary. There are Democrats and Republicans vying to be their party's nominees, including former DHEC director and gubernatorial candidate Catherine Templeton, who is challenging two-term incumbent Republican Nancy Mace. Templeton has called out Mace for not accepting debates offered by the TV stations WCBD and WSAV. So no debates for the 1st Congressional District Republican primary. Scoot on up 26 to the 4th Congressional District in Greenville and Spartanburg counties. Republican candidate Adam Morgan's claims that state agencies were attempting to, quote, illegally register non-citizens to vote, quote, have been refuted by a state law enforcement division investigation. Morgan, a state representative from Greenville and leader of the far-right House Freedom Caucus, has stated that he was contacted by a non-citizen refugee with proof that South Carolina Medicaid office provided her with multiple voter registration forms even after she informed office personnel she was not a citizen. It's not illegal, by the way. The SLED report notes that such information, like a voter form, is required to be given to anyone who applies for benefits. This is all in compliance with the National Voter Registration Act of 1993, the NVRA. Agencies are required to give mail application voter registration information to anyone.
Anyone.
Anyone who applies for public assistance, whether they are eligible or not. That doesn't mean that they're forcing them to vote or register to vote. The forms can be mailed or given in person, and the agencies keep a record of what they get back. Now, South Carolina State Law 7-5-310 also mirrors the federal law and specifies each eligibility requirement, including citizenship, to vote. The signature of an applicant on the form is under penalty of perjury, and there was no requirement to use an SEC form to convey that information. Now, just for more clarification and how thorough this is, the SC Elections Commission and the Department of Motor Vehicles audit data from the Systemic Alien Verification for Entitlements database to ensure only U.S. citizens are included on the active list of registered voters. Should any fraudulent registrations come to the attention of the SEC, they are forwarded to law enforcement. Now, some more information about this. The Legislative Audit Council performed a review of state elections from 2022 to 2023, and in the LAC's 2024 summary, it states, quote, "We found no incidences where non-U.S. citizens with state IDs or driver's licenses had voted," quote. Now, the South Carolina Legislative Audit Council conducts independent, objective performance audits of state agencies and programs as requested by the General Assembly and mandated by laws. So this ain't no dog and pony show, folks. It's the real deal right there.
Mm-hmm.
Following the SLED report's release and criticism by many on social media, Representative Morgan tweeted that, quote, "Actually, the investigation corroborated that non-citizens are being sent registration forms, and it's required by federal law!" Exclamation point. So instead of trying to change the law and secure our elections, he, referring to Congressman William Timmons, attacks the refugee family who came forward and me for blowing the whistle. "I will work in Congress to stop," all caps, "the government from intentionally distributing voter registration forms to non-citizens," quote. So to reiterate, our state elections are secure. No non-citizens have voted in our elections. Agencies are required under federal law to send out these forms to people receiving these benefits, which are usually American citizens. Non-citizens cannot legally register to vote or vote in South Carolina or federal elections. Moving on, while the legislative session is over, this podcast isn't. Talking to you, Lizzie. Listen ahead. Lawmakers, however, will still be wrapping up a few things, little loose ends here, in June, including the final version of the budget. Three House and three Senate lawmakers are part of a conference committee that are still ironing out the differences, and now there's more money to help with that compromise.
Whoa!
Oh, yes. Congratulations, taxpayers.
Thank you.
The South Carolina Board of Economic Advisors voted Monday to increase its revenue forecast for the current fiscal year and next fiscal year. That's right. General fund revenues in April continue to exceed expectations in a number of categories, but not all. Hey, you can't have it all. Prompting both upward and downward revisions in several key categories. But overall, these revisions will provide the General Assembly with an additional $143 million in recurring revenue and $467 million in non-recurring revenue, that's one-time dollars, that's above previous estimates, that they can appropriate in the fiscal year 25 budget. That's currently being debated by those six lawmakers, guys. So we're talking about a cool $600 million to throw around. You know, walking around money where I come from. Now, just some details on where that money's coming from. The largest adjustments were made in corporate income taxes. Thank you, corporate citizens. And earnings on investments. We're talking about $380 million and $90 million, respectively. Now, revenue receipts in other categories, such as sales tax, were also ahead of expectations, but by a little bit lower amounts. The BEA said that South Carolina is still experiencing and is expected to experience economic growth from increasing employment and personal income levels through the next fiscal year. So, again, the economy here is looking pretty good. All in all, lawmakers this budget season have a total of $816 million in new recurring revenue for the fiscal year 25 budget process and $1.3 billion from forecasted surpluses and available reserves from last fiscal year. So, again, put all this together, we're talking about a total of $2.15 billion in additional revenue available to appropriate. That's above the estimates, folks. So, always good news. They lowball us, and then they say, hey, here's an extra 2.1. Sticking with some numbers, I know you guys love numbers. Real quick, some more data to show how things are going here. South Carolina's unemployment rate nudged up just a little bit to 3.2% from last month's estimate of 3.1% as more people entered the labor force looking for work. The state had another strong month of job growth, adding 8,100 jobs in April. Now, South Carolina accounts for 4.6% of the national job growth in April. We are carrying the country, folks, far outpacing the 1.5% share of national employment. Now, this is according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond regional economist Laura Ulrich. Now, this strong employment situation continues to stymie fears that interest rates at a two-decade high will weaken the jobs market and push the economy into a recession. Again, not forecasted to happen anytime soon. But interest rates have remained fixed. That's because inflation and jobs reports for the first quarter of the year were still hot. But April Consumer Price Index data, that's a measure of goods and services costs across the country, actually eased slightly to 3.4% from a year ago and from 3.5% in March. But again, inflation ran at 3.4% according to the Labor Department, which also said that core inflation, which excludes volatile food and energy items, climbed 3.6% annually, which is the lowest increase since April 2021. So while it might have gone up a little bit in that sense, it's still down. That's, of course, still too high. All this is still too high. It's above the Fed's 2% inflation goal, which has prompted the Fed to delay any rate cuts till later this year. Welcome to the wind down section, our little break from the news. We're glad you're here. A.T. Shire, lead producer, I'm glad you're here. You've had a Monday.
Oh, I've had quite
You've had a bit
Monday.
Of a Monday.
I get why Garfield doesn't like
these things.
Did you see that? Garfield has a star on the Walk of Fame. They put his big paws in some cement the other day. They had a big fake Garfield doing it.
The real Garfield?
Well, I mean, I don't know if he's still around.
Was it Chris Pratt in a suit?
But it was
everyone's favorite Garfield?
It was Garfield. So they had like two assistants pushing his paws down, and he got up, and he's like, I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Cat pop culture, always good.
Oh, lasagna. I think Kathy deserves a star on the Walk of Fame.
I'm much more of a Heathcliff man myself.
Chocolate.
Maybe Snagglepuss.
I feel like I'm living every day more and more these days at work in a Kathy cartoon.
Gavin, he's saying ack. You know, he's saying ack.
I walk around with a measuring tape around my waist and I'm saying, swimsuit season. Oh, I bet, as much as these Gen Z kids love to culturally appropriate the 90s.
Yes.
They don't know all the ins and outs like a Kathy cartoon.
Yeah, our culture is not your costume, okay,
Thank
kids?
You.
Okay, kids, take those baggy jeans off.
But that's all they're doing.
We talked about it last time. They need to use stuff that sucks for long periods
of
time.
Yes, and they don't have that ability, so you don't get the full experience.
Everything
kids.
They have rules, mm-hmm. okay? To speak in 90s parlance.
Far out.
It rules.
Far out, bro.
Okay, folks?
Cowabunga.
Yeah, that might be late 80s. All right? Cowabunga.
Surf's up.
Bodacious. Anyway, Gavin, you know what is bodacious?
Far out.
We got a call. You teased it earlier.
No way.
Long-time listener, first time. Long-time, first time calling in.
Ooh.
Are you ready?
I always love these ones. Okay. I mean, I love them all.
Okay. We love them all.
We love them all, but this one maybe a little bit more. The long-time, first time.
Okay, here we go.
Hey, Gavin and AC. This is Lizzie calling from Columbia, South Carolina. I have been listening since the pandemic. Your show was recommended to me back when the pandemic started, and I have listened for a long time really loyally. This is my first time calling. I've meant to call for a really long time, and I've had so many thoughts over the years about the many debates that you guys have had about fashion and food and TV shows and movies. I love Fast and the Furious, by the way. Totally underrated series. But what finally prompted me to call is that I thought I had lost you guys forever, and I just needed to tell you that I'm so thankful that you're not gone. For some reason, my Apple Podcast app, which, yes, I know, kind of lame I use the Apple Podcast app. I feel like a lot of people are too cool for that, but I mostly use that for my podcast, and it stopped updating your show for me on April 9th, and I just thought you guys were gone. And every couple of days, I would think, where is SE Lead? I know sometimes they have to take a break, but usually they tell us when they're taking a break, and I was just so sad and missed the updates and felt disconnected from South Carolina news and government, especially with Tiny Die coming up soon. So all throughout April, I was concerned and didn't know what was wrong. And so finally last week, I tried like unsubscribing to the podcast and resubscribing, didn't work. Finally, I last week texted a couple of my friends who listen, and I said, yeah, where do you guys think Gavin and AT have been? Like, what's going on with SC Lead? And thankfully, my friend David, shout out David, immediately called me when I texted him that and said, I have no idea what you're talking about. They are doing what they're supposed to be doing and making podcasts. And turns out I had some problems. So anyway, he was like, Lizzie, you should be listening on Spotify anyway, probably. So now I'm listening to you guys on Spotify, and I just spent this weekend kind of binging the last month of SC Lead. And man, it felt so good to listen to you guys again and hear all the updates. And congratulations, AT, on becoming a dad. And yeah, it was so great to hear. So I'm so glad to have you guys back. And you know, you just don't even realize how much you love something until you lose it. Well, I already knew I loved you guys, but I'm so thankful to have the lead back in my life. You know, there's been too many debates over the years to really get into all my thoughts, but I do want to say, going years and years back, that there's so much debate about ranch and pizza. And I just have to say, because it was like, when do we use ranch? Do we use it on pizza? I'm a believer that you use ranch on crappy pizza, but not on good, high-quality pizza. So, like, New York pizza or, you know, I don't know, really good pizza, no. But on, like, Domino's and Papa John's, yeah, you can use ranch. That's my personal philosophy. Just thought I'd share. But anyway, thanks for doing what you're doing. I'm so glad you're back in my life.
Lizzie, oh my God, what a wonderful call that we need on this Monday. We had a little bit of a funky Monday.
Yes.
And that was just beautiful. We love hearing, especially from our pandemic listeners, but I also love hearing what makes people the longtime first times call. And to think that we left our listeners without saying goodbye.
We never leave you in a lurch like that, Liz.
We always try and, like, you know, keep you updated, like you said, and sometimes we forget to, but yes, we're always making sure that we don't just not show up in your podcast feed on a Tuesday or a Saturday. But my go-to podcast app is Pocket Casts, if you're looking for one. Love that one. I also listen to Amazon Music, but I don't like to do my music with my podcast.
Yeah,
I like to keep them separate.
I used to use the Google Podcast app because I have a Pixel, not a brag. They got rid of it and tried to make me use YouTube Music to listen to podcasts. Absolutely not. So I am one of the few, the proud, honestly, the not proud, people who are using the Amazon Music app to listen to my podcast. It's terrible. But Lizzie, also, Apple Podcasts, totally fine.
Yeah, still, we're not going to dump on Apple Podcasts, except for that glitch. So hopefully some of our other Apple Podcasts listeners. We're always on SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org, Lizzie. We live there, too.
Also, you could text the number, or you could DM us on any number of things. Like, I would have gladly talked you through it, Liz. Truly. Anytime.
Good to hear, though.
Anyone anything. Just holler at us. Straight up.
But instead of texting us, she texted her friends that also listen, which I thought was incredibly awesome. I was like, a group?
David, thank you.
David and company.
Now you all have to call in. This is literally like a pyramid scheme where, like, now, Lizzie, you get them to call, then they get other people to call, and that's how you make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Trust
$10,
me.
We'll do it. And also, I know she was saying she didn't have time to weigh in on the hot takes over the years. Who does? We barely do. But the pizza and ranch debate, we in 18, I agree with that if you're going to do that,
it's
abomination.
It's for bad pizza.
And I just, you know, I let people do what they want. I'm a pineapple and ham guy.
Disgusting.
It's my
ham.
Thing.
Ham.
Ham.
There's so many better pork products to put on a pizza than ham.
Ham. Yeah. I mean, you could do it. I think it's just a good little mix. And it stresses people out, too. So I enjoy that aspect
As soon as Gavin does it, he's the alpha in the room.
I take a bite and I'm looking.
Yeah. it's a mental warfare that he... And Lizzie, I got to say... You nearly made the 3 minutes. You were
so close at the end.
You had like three more words to get out. You got a little bit more hone in your call to be like Mr. 3 Minutes, Roman. Okay,
That was a wonderful call.
I loved it. I was really in the dumps. I've had a long dad week, and in just 2 days, and so. I needed that. You've lifted my spirits. They were absolutely at the nadir of parenting, and now I'm soaring. So thank you.
Oh, yeah. Now you're at the zeitgeist?
No. The zeitgeist? No. Now I'm at the zenith.
Okay. See,
zenith.
I failed astronomy.
we could talk about perigee and apogee if you want to, okay? And orbits.
I was just trying to use the word zeitgeist because that's...
I love it.
Everyone still uses it. Is that still the hip word to use?
It's an old German word that means time ghost. anyway, I have
nothing... Speaking of which...
I have nothing to give.
The zeitgeist is knocking at the door.
Yes, it's time to hit the credits. I'm so tired. I've had unadulterated long stretches of fathering.
The next, I don't know, rest of your life.
Yeah. Yes. And so I need to go and quietly edit this podcast.
And this is my informal way of telling everyone now that this has become a parent podcast.
Yes.
And we are pivoting hard. I'm not a parent, but I'm going to talk to a parent every Tuesday and Saturday. And
yes.
That parent is A.T. Shire.
Yes. And we're converting the studio, Gavin's studio,
into
a ball pit. We will not clean it. It'll be as dirty as any Chuck E. Cheese's. We're actually buying all the animatronics from Chuck E.
Chester
Cheese.
Chester E.
Cheese. Charles E. Entertainment Cheese, a distinguished rat of note. Anyway, Gavin, say the outro to them, please.
If you have tokens, donate them to SCETV. We will redeem them for a number of cheap plastic prizes. And you can always show us your appreciation by giving us a call like Lizzie did. We love hearing from you guys. 803-563-7169. You can also leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll take it. You can listen on Apple Podcasts. You can give us a review there, too. Even better. You can always stay up to date with the latest news on SCETV.org and SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina.
Hey, tell me more about real estate really quick.
God, we can't stop.
I know. It just seeps into our lives.
Anyone.